Welcome to the Unblocking Crypto Podcast. This podcast is not financial advice. It's meant for entertainment purposes only. These are just the opinions of a couple of rambling wrecks. Welcome back to episode 114 of Unblocking Crypto. This week's going to be a little bit different. Hal's on vacation, so he ended up recording something on his phone and sending it to me that I'm going to attach to the end of this. Some interesting updates from him, just talks a little bit about El Salvador, some of the technical analysis from Bitcoin, some of the latest for with Coinbase and the SEC, and he even discusses gaming, although it's gaming based around Bitcoin, of course. So first off, let's kind of jump into a few things that are happening. While most of the talk has been on the Bitcoin ETFs, one of the things that's been really intriguing to pay attention to is the stablecoin adoption. And there's maybe some merit into looking at stablecoin adoption as a bigger metric than the adoption of the Bitcoin ETFs. And the reason being is the Bitcoin ETFs has, in the last 30 days, have had about 5 billion of inflows. The stablecoins have had more than 2x that. So they're a little over 10 billion, which is really intriguing to see. And I guess we'll see. I mean, we've always talked about stablecoins being kind of a use case that will get more people into crypto. And there's a lot of companies that are kind of getting into that space, one of which is PayPal. And we've talked about their stablecoin in the past, PYUSD. They have just announced that they are going to enable all of their US-based customers to send their stablecoin to 160 different countries around the world for free. So Bitcoin from the Lightning Network has been one of those things we've talked about on getting money around the world very cheaply. Now PayPal is going to allow people to do that for free. And I think that's through their Zoom service. But and not to be outdone, Ripple has recently announced that they're planning on releasing their own stablecoin that will be on their distributed XRP ledger and also on the Ethereum blockchain. So a lot of interesting things happening from the stablecoin perspective. I mean, if you look at it, though, there's still, 90% of the stablecoins are between the top two guys, US and USDC. So let's jump into the ETFs, because there's always a lot to talk about with the ETFs lately. The latest has been BlackRock, of course. They seem to dominate the news when it comes to ETF. But what they have recently announced is that there are 4 new authorized participants that are joining the BlackRock ETF. And those participants pretty much help people buy and sell those ETFs a little bit easier. And they include Citibank, Citadel, UBS, and Goldman Sachs. And what's really interesting is Goldman Sachs has been one of those companies that has been anti-crypto for a very long time. Even the CEO came out and said that crypto was not an investment asset and that they are not believers of crypto. So apparently they're not believers, but they realize there's a lot of money to be made and they want a piece of it. So they're jumping into that as well. Speaking of the ETFs in general, if you look at it, you now have both BlackRock and Fidelity's ETF have hit 59 days in a row of net inflows. So this puts them both in the top 20 of all time of ETFs. And most likely they are not done very much. Not done yet. So we'll probably see that continue to grow, hopefully. And maybe they'll be holding the top 2 spots here in a few months. What's also interesting from that perspective is the new ruling with the SEC is going to require all these investment banks to report how much of the spot Bitcoin ETFs they're holding on their assets in mid-May. So we're just over a month away from that happening, and that will be really intriguing. And there's also a ton of rumors, too, that UBS is trying to get to the point within the next couple of weeks of allowing their customers access to ETFs, which, I mean, we're talking about all this money coming in, but there's still a lot of these huge investment banks that aren't giving their clients access. And not to be outdone, Morgan Stanley apparently is trying to beat UBS to that. So 2 huge asset holders that haven't allowed their clients access to it that could drive a ton of volume and deposits into the ETFs. Speaking of the Bitcoin ETFs, we've talked in the past about China and how they have pretty much outlawed Bitcoin in general. Well, what is interesting now that we're seeing is that two of China's largest asset managers, you could almost say that one of them is kind of the BlackRock of China, are now applying for spot Bitcoin ETFs in Hong Kong, right? So they have subsidiaries in Hong Kong, and they're pretty much getting around the mainland China no Bitcoin rule by opening this up in China. And I think there's, between the two of them, $500+ billion of assets. And if you look at China, I think there was a gold ETF that they just got access to that they ended up having to halt trading into because everybody was jumping into it. There's just a bunch of Chinese people that are interested in buying anything outside of their country at this point. So this could be a really intriguing thing for Bitcoin as well moving forward. And speaking of ETFs, what we haven't really seen in a while has been some positive news on the Ethereum ETFs. And recently, the SEC has actually started to ask for comments on three Ethereum ETFs, those being Grayscale, Bitwise, and Fidelity. And I think they're giving 3 weeks of from a time frame to get the public to give comments back on those ETFs. So maybe this approval in May is still a possibility. I know a lot of people were not very bullish on that happening. But hey, with SEC actually making some movement, maybe that is going to happen at this point. Let's talk a little bit about some of the countries going on, what's going on there. What has been interesting is Chile has almost started leading the pack in Latin America from a regulation perspective for crypto. So I think there are about 33 countries in Latin America, and Chile passed a fintech law in late 2023 that pretty much gave crypto assets a subcategory. So it's specific just for that. It's still pretty early, and there's a lot of people that aren't really sure if that is going to be what's needed or if it's not going to create more confusion. I mean, they're also one of the stronger Latin American countries from a reserve currency perspective compared to everybody else. So then they haven't had the adoption that some of the other countries have had. But it is interesting that you have them trying to make a push, that there's still an opportunity for the Argentinas and the Brazils that have a lot, and maybe even Venezuela, that have a lot more interest in crypto to push through a little quicker. In the meantime, Paraguay has kind of been doing the opposite. So they're struggling with their energy usage, and they are now blaming it on Bitcoin mining. So they have proposed a bill to ban Bitcoin mining, which it also sounds like it could ban staking of crypto and even owning of crypto. So kind of going the opposite way, but it's what we're seeing is some governments continue to try to blame crypto on their problems, much like Nigeria has been doing here recently. We talked about Nigeria in the last couple of weeks where they had a couple of the Binance execs come by and they held them under house arrest. Well, one of them escaped after he went to a mosque to pray and used a secondary passport to get out. Well, since that, then they were not being charged with anything. Previously, they were just being held under house arrest. Now they've charged both of them. They're trying to work with Interpol to get that one guy back. They're now blaming Binance on like 5 counts of tax evasion. And I think the new date for court is set for April 19th, which is the day before the halving of Bitcoin. So lots of fireworks here in a couple of weeks from, let's see what happens in Nigeria and with the Bitcoin halving and all that good stuff. In terms of kind of the other companies that have gone bankrupt or caused problems, Doquan was found guilty by the jury of a fraud, pretty much, and I think $40 billion worth of fraud. So he's still being held in Montenegro's jail and the awaiting sentencing from the New York prosecutors. So I think both South Korea would like to get their hands on him and the U.S. would like to get their hands on him, but Montenegro is still holding him and not really releasing him at this point. So FTX, we talked about SBF getting his 25 years, and what they have come out and said now is that their plan is to start repaying the first funds to their creditors by the end of 2024, which sounds great, but man, they're going to possibly miss out on some huge gains between now and then, right? If Bitcoin is theoretically going to end the year over six figures. So I'm sure that's pretty frustrating for FTX users, but I guess the good news is maybe they're getting something back. And then something pretty interesting that I saw too, Oneinch, which is a decentralized exchange, is working with a company called Banx, and they're partnering with MasterCard to create a Web3 debit card that you can pretty much use your crypto to buy things online, buy purchases in person with the credit card, and even take out money out of ATMs, assuming they're on that network. So exciting news there. And I know everybody always that I talk to is always saying that there's no way you can use crypto to actually buy things. And this is just another one of those ways you can use it. So it's just not as mainstream as what everybody's used to. So that's all I have. Stay tuned here. Hal's going to give his update. And I guess apologies for the birds and the plane in the background. But when you're on vacation, there's only so many places you can go. Hal, I'll turn it over to you.
So first thing to talk about on the Bitcoin side, we talk about El Salvador almost every week now. And they're doing another program to improve that country. So Bukele announced 5,000 scientists, engineers, doctors, artists, philosophers can get a El Salvador free passport instead of the $1 million fee that they've been charging for the last probably year or so, and have 0% taxes and tariffs on their moving costs and getting their intellectual property or any other assets into the country. And this just continues the path of El Salvador making moves to improve themselves instead of doing the same things over and over again and waiting for the IMF loans and get into more fiat debt and to go down this spiral where they, like these other poor countries are doing, where they have no creativity. They're just following the same fiat, you know, whirlpool down the drain. And El Salvador is taking control, having a bit of a backbone and trying new things. And it makes sense. You know, 5,000 doesn't sound like a big number. There's only 6.4 million people in the country. So you're talking about bringing in, you know, what is that? One in every several thousand people as a, like a high performer. That'd make a difference. And if they don't hit 5,000, okay, fine. Maybe it's only 2,000, 3,000 that come. That's a lot for a country like that. And so, you know, stuff like this makes me want to visit, you know. So the closer we get to summer, the more I'm thinking we're going to run down there. Another thing unrelated to El Salvador, but more on the Bitcoin fundamental pricing technical analysis side, there's two things that I like that I saw this week. One, 9.5% of Bitcoin has been acquired at over $60,000. So you've got 10% of the supply with a cost basis of 60,000. So they're not likely to sell for a loss, right? So they're waiting for gains. That's great. You got the 200-week moving average up to 30,000. So the 200-week moving average is like a pretty solid floor over the last 15 years for Bitcoin. So, or I guess the last 11 years, because you don't have a 200-week moving average until after 200 weeks. So it's been pretty solid. So anybody with a cost basis of 30,000 or less has got to be feeling great. Anybody that's in between the 30,000 and 60,000 has got to be feeling good. So this is all kind of coming and making me think about, all right, where are we at and where are we going and how early are we and things like that. And I was listening to a podcast with the Peter McCormick podcast. They had American HODL on, and they've kind of agreed that there's less than 1 million people with one or more Bitcoin. So you combine those three things and it really starts to convince me that this is early. And if this thing does have any level of success, it's in the high six figures before too long. And so, you know, less than 1 million people, that's a sliver of the population. I mean, that's almost nothing to have one Bitcoin, right? To have what right now is $60,000 to $70,000 of their net worth in Bitcoin. So you know, as adoption increases and more people get in and more people are going to chase the round numbers like one Bitcoin. So I think you're going to see some pretty substantial price escalation in the next 6 years, right? I've always had 2030 as a target date for me as like when things are going to be, when things will, Bitcoin will either have made a move or it's going to get stuck at some level. It just, that time frame made sense to me. So it's making me think more and more that by 2030, this thing's will have taken off. Coinbase versus the SEC. So another judicial decision goes in the favor of crypto and Bitcoin. So similar to the Ripple case, they ruled that the secondary sales of crypto don't violate the Securities Exchange Act. So the secondary sales of crypto are not selling securities. So that's a strong base, in my opinion, for Coinbase to feel that they can operate in the way they are on the secondary market, selling crypto tokens without violating securities laws. So, you know, it's further pushing that SEC into a less and less of a player in dictating what Coinbase can do. So that's good to hear. The last two are kind of more fun. One, this company Ords Games, I've never heard of. They're releasing what looks like a Game Boy, like retro gaming on a handheld device. But it's a hardware wallet, and B, you can earn Bitcoin for playing the games. So we've talked over the years on this podcast where I'm like, gaming kind of makes sense, man. It's dumb, but it's all electronic, and you've got tons of people that spend tons of money on video games, whether that's buying video games on the front end, spending the money on the front end, or the in-game costs. And so it makes sense to me that the profit from those companies can get recycled back and be used as rewards, even if it's small stuff. So I think in my head, it makes more sense to release an app, because there's so many games on apps that people put on their phones and then just eat up their time playing games on phones. But if you're collecting sats while you're playing and getting rewarded with it, it feels like you would be able to build a pretty strong business around that. So along the lines of people trying to get Bitcoin. So I took my son to the dentist. He's 11. And we, you know, we're in there and I'm in the waiting room. He's in the back. And the dental hygienist comes and gets me. So we'll go back and talk. And the dentist is like, hey, you know, we've got this tooth. It's got this infection. But the permanent tooth is about to push it out. Like, it's already got some root decay, and it's, you know, maybe a month or two away. So I really, you know, we can do some antibiotics and I could pull the tooth, you know, maybe that's like $150, or we just wait. And so I was like talking to my son, you know, is it painful, this and that? It's like, no, really. I said, all right. I said, well, look, you know, well, what he said was, I'll split it with you 75-75. And I'm like, all right, let's talk in the car. So we get in the car and I'm like, all right, this is one of those deals where, you know, let's think about what makes sense. And I'm like, you know what, man, you don't want the dentist to pull it, that's great. I'm like, listen, rather than $75 and where I keep the 75 and you keep 75, I'll give you $40 in US dollars. I'll give you $40 in Bitcoin if you can get that tooth out. And he's like, done, deal. So that was like, all right, ding, trips. My son's into Bitcoin. Great. You know, he's already, I think he's up to a little over 1 million sats. And so we're driving down on this vacation and I'm like, all right, let's start to build some more fundamental information about Bitcoin. So there's a website called Bitcoin, My First Bitcoin. It's an El Salvador program that they teach high school kids there. And so there's like 100-something page curriculum on the website that you can download. So on the way down here, we went through like the first lesson on money, you know, barter versus yacht versus, you know, private monies. And it's, you know, I've got a 6-year-old and 11-year-old, so I'm having to kind of fill in the blanks and massage things a little bit. But I think they're picking up on it. So yeah, I think all in all, we've got, per usual, a lot of positivity on the Bitcoin side. El Salvador's doing good. We did MicroStrategy. Their stock price seems to be all over the place. But the new FASB rules are going to kick in. I don't know that that's going to have much of an effect, because MicroStrategy is so vocal about their Bitcoin holdings that I think that asset value of those Bitcoin are included in the calculation for the price, in addition to the earnings they get from the software company. But I'm curious to see what happens in other companies as Bitcoin gets put on and they get adjusted for the fair value of the Bitcoin every quarter. So we'll see how this goes. Looking forward to things coming forward, and appreciate it. And then I hope you're having a great time. Thanks, Jason. Bye.
If all of these crypto conversations leave you with more questions and you're looking for answers, I've created a product that dives into most of those answers, including why crypto, how to set up a cold wallet, and some of the more advanced strategies for dealing with crypto. Check the link in the notes below, and hope to see you there.